Hey Tim, it's Guy. Are we doing a podcast this week or what's going on? I haven't gotten any email saying one thing one way or the other. Give me a call at the house. You got the number there. You got the number. Don't bother with the cell because the cell phone coverage here sucks. Or if I'm online with Skype or iChat, get a hold of me there. Bye.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
MyMac podcast 142. You said this was the 10th anniversary of the death of the clones guy?
Yeah.
The Clone Wars?
No, Mac clones.
Oh, really? Can you name three of them?
Sure, I own two of them.
Okay. Who fought with my father during the Clone Wars.
And I was amazed at what a remarkable pilot he was, even at that early age.
Yeah. This was your father's Newton.
You're not recording now, are you?
Yeah, we're recording.
Okay, good.
Welcome to MyMac Podcast number 142. My name is Tim Robertson. I'm the publisher and owner of MyMac.com. Seated to the left of Chad Perry here.
Yes, hello.
And Guy Searle sitting on his comfortable chair in Virginia.
That's right. And I can pretty much guarantee this is going to be a huge train wreck. Let's go.
You know, the thing is, we do have an Apple event next week, and it's coming out the day before we record. So next week we'll have hopefully a really good show. Mm-hmm. Has anybody seen the rumored iPod Fat Nano.
Yeah. I did check the Fat Nano out at Engadget, yes.
And, I heard about it. I heard that there's just no way this is a real product from Apple. I finally got to see the picture, and I really hope it's not the real product because it is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the first iPod, in my opinion, that's just hideous. Even the Zoom looks better than that Fat Nano.
I can't see Apple doing this, but then of course, I was in denial over them going to Intel, so what the hell do I know?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of with you there.
I think, you know, the problem is that design for the Nano is trending with the current population in the United States.
Yeah.
It's just spreading out and getting wider. So,
Nano's just big boned.
What I think would work better.
Thyroid problem.
What I think would work better for the Nano would be for them to drop the click wheel closer to the bottom and expand the screen so that you could watch, like, widescreen videos on, like, almost the same size Nano.
I don't know. I think the Nano is a music player, not a video player. If you want video, move up to a full-size iPod.
Yep.
Speaking of the full-size iPod, and putting aside these possibly fake photos of the Fat Nano.
I think they are.
Fat Nano, that's kind of an oxymoron,
fat
isn't it?
Fat Nan.
That would be the one more thing. We've got this. We call it the Fat Nano.
The Fat Nano.
That would be a
We already pissed off all the thin people with the iMac, so now let's piss off the fat people with the Nano.
Yeah, and there's more of them. And much more vocal. What do you guys think we've got in store for next week? Let's start with the iPod. Obviously, it's been a long time in coming, radically new iPod, or simply building on the existing iPod?
The problem is that I've heard rumors going both ways, and it seems that the rumors that I've been reading, and of course these are rumor sites, so this is pure speculation, is that what we're going to see is a vamped up video iPod with probably a larger screen, but not something similar to an iPhone interface. Some people think that's not going to be coming until next year. I think, frankly, I don't know if Apple can hold off that long, or if people will even buy an iPod that looks like a video iPod.
Guy?
I think the iPhone is a product that stands on its own, and it doesn't really matter what they do with the iPods, that they're going to sell a boatload of the iPhones. I think that the new full-size iPod is going to have a very similar interface to the iPhone, and that Apple is, now this might be a little bit out left field, I think Apple is going to do Wi-Fi but not allow you to surf the web with it. It'll strictly be for downloading content from the iTunes store, and they'll finally have it so that iTunes and iPods sync in both directions.
What, do you guys think there's going to be a click wheel on this new iPod?
No.
So you're thinking a full screen interface like the iPhone?
Yes.
What do you think, Chad?
I would love to see that. I just don't know if we will or not. And frankly, I can't see Apple's putting out a crippled, well, maybe I can, a crippled Wi-Fi connection that only lets you log on to the iTunes Music Store. Because you certainly know that anybody who can at least get Wi-Fi connectivity with an iPod is going to find a way to hack it and get Safari installed or something installed.
Yeah, because nobody's hacking the iPhone at all, right?
No, of course not. We know that's a sealed system.
It's tight. No one's ever going to hack the iPod or the iPhone. It's just not going to happen.
Apple R&D loves this stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
That's where they get all their product development from, the hackers.
Sure, absolutely. Using an iPhone myself and a fifth-generation iPod photo, video, whatever, I have to say that when I'm in the vehicle, I don't even consider the thought of hooking my phone to the stereo to listen to it that way because there's no tactile sensation on the phone to let me know if I'm hitting next, pause, turning up the volume, what have you. I literally have to look at it. If you've used an iPod, a full-size iPod, for any length of time, you know where the pause is, how to turn up the volume, next track, previous track.
And doing it all with your thumb, basically.
Right. Yeah. And I think people want that tactile sensation in a music player. But maybe I'm in the minority there. Maybe people will like, personally, sitting at a desk or sitting some on the couch, if I had the choice of which one I could use, and I do because I own both, I prefer the iPhone. It is the most intuitive iPod I've ever used. It just works. It is the best iPod. Steve Jobs said that during the introduction of the iPod back in January.
iPhone.
No, it's the best iPod ever made.
Yeah.
It is. It's just, it's gorgeous. And I think we are going to see this time around with the new iPod, it's going to be running Mac OS X. Any doubts on that?
If they stick with the click wheel, then I would say no, it won't. But if they do go to a similar interface to the iPhone, then OS X is the best tool they could use.
Well, with the current iPod software, you're not going to see CoverFlow or any of those kind of technologies or graphical technologies coming to the iPod. It's just not a robust enough OS to do that.
Right.
Well, they could change it so that it is. But
why would
really,
they want
to? There's no point in it with the click wheel.
Well, I would disagree with you, but with the click wheel in CoverFlow, you simply turn your thumb and it does the cover flow thing just like you do on a mouse in iTunes.
Well, maybe they'll do.
I think because it's going to incorporate some version of iTunes, it is going to be running Mac OS X. I don't see the point in Apple having two different operating systems under the hood. Why would they have the phones and the computers running Mac OS X and the iPod being its own little separate entity out on this island running its own OS? I see that changing. They're going to bring the iPod under the Mac OS banner. It's all going to be running the Mac OS.
Now, do you mean just the full size or?
No, everything eventually. Whether they upgrade, well, obviously not the.
I was going to say the shuffle.
The shuffle
running
the
OS X. I can't see.
It's got a great display. You just can't see it.
So you hook up a 30-inch cinema display to your shuffle.
To your shuffle.
So that you can change.
Look how pretty it is.
Whoa.
I don't know. I think personally, we're going to see OS X under the hood on the shuffles or on the nanos, as well as the full size iPod. Ooh, my phone is ringing. I forgot to turn off my phone. Who could be calling?
Now, didn't somebody else on this show get a hard time for that?
Yeah, they did. But this was
Chad. Do you remember that?
Remember what?
it was my ex-wife.
Oh.
Oy. She can get through any phone, whether it's on or off, I tell you. So the other
weird
updates, news,
Beatles and iTunes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
Well, they've added John Lennon, and they've added Ringo Starr, and they've had Paul McCartney for a while. So is it just a question of dealing with the Harrison estate, or do they even really need to bring the executors of the Harrison?
No, because I think once they settled with Apple Records, doesn't Apple Records own the rights to the Beatles?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So at least distribution.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but he owned the publishing rights.
Yeah.
Right.
He didn't actually own the music.
Which is why you hear it in commercials every now and then, which just sickens me.
Yeah. But I think there's some kind of weird arrangement between the people that are watching the estates of Harrison and McCartney, obviously, Yoko and Ringo, and I believe they get together like twice a year to actually discuss Apple Records business, whatever new stuff is coming up.
It's going to be interesting nonetheless. I'm not so excited about new Beatles or the Beatles in general being in the iTunes music store, but it really is the last big group that's not there.
Yeah.
There's a few others. Garth Brooks isn't there. AC/DC isn't there. Led Zeppelin isn't there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But none of those groups have the prestige.
Power.
Yeah. Or the staying power. Well, I don't know. Led Zeppelin's been around a long time.
Well, they've been around a long
about
time.
About, what, 7 years? About 8 years less than the Beatles.
Yeah, but it's not like you have people that are would go crazy if suddenly one of the members of that group died or
you might be surprised. It won't be in the numbers that the Beatles would garner, but
100 years
there
from
are
now,
a lot of Led Zeppelin fans.
Sure, I'm a huge Led Zeppelin fan, but 100 years from now, will people be listening to Led Zeppelin or the Beatles?
Both, I think. Still more will be listening to the Beatles because their music is better. Mm-hmm. It was more groundbreaking at the time.
And it's timeless in many ways.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I don't really care, though, because the groups that aren't there now, I already own the CDs.
Right.
And they're not groups generally putting out anything new. You know, AC/DC hasn't had a new album in how long now? Mm-hmm. And if they did, it would sound just like the previous 20.
Yeah,
it's been mostly like best ofs that I've
right.
been coming out
Zepp with. Isn't going to come out with a new album unless they repackage a couple of their hits and, Led Zeppelin, number ones, mm-hmm. like the Beatles do.
Well, yeah. I know that that Plant, Page, and John Bonham's son were touring not long ago.
Yeah, but that's not the same. So who else is there? I can't think of any
major
group at this point. Probably the biggest rock band in the world right now is U2.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple's are pretty much pimped them as much as they're going to be able to sell iPods.
Gave them their own iPod, yeah.
Gave them their own iPod, put them on the commercials, use their music.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get much more mileage out of that relationship, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And as an aside, is anybody else sick of John Mayer showing up at Apple events?
I actually enjoyed what did he play? Three songs? Four songs?
You know who was supposed to be there?
No.
Paul McCartney? That was a scheduling
account.
At Macworld January, during the iPhone unveiling, Paul McCartney said he was scheduled to play, but he had a scheduling conflict and couldn't make it. That's why they got John Mayer.
Oh, man, that would have rocked.
Exactly. Yeah. Could you imagine? Yeah, we were there and we saw the iPhone unveiled, and then Paul McCartney came out and played.
And then he dropped dead right there on the stage.
Yep. And I got a hunk of his hair, dude. We're going to clone him.
Speaking of clones.
Yeah.
We were talking about this before.
Yeah, you had to name three. I can do it.
Oh, yeah, I can name three. I had two. I had an Apps M-Power 200, which was a 604 Motorola StarMax design.
Yeah,
I had a UMAX C600, which was a 240 megahertz 603E that I later upgraded to a G3.
That was a good machine at the time.
Yeah. Well, actually, of the UMAX machines, I could only afford the C600, but the one I really wanted was the S900.
Yeah, because it had those the kind of that bevel at the top of it.
That was always
sides.
Yeah, everybody
it had all those holes in it.
Yeah. Plus, also, you could put two processors in that if you could afford it. You could have dual 604 processors.
So what was the number three?
Number three would have been just about anything from Power Computing.
Yeah.
You had the, I think, Apex clones. You had the Motorola StarMax clones.
Power Tools?
Power Tools. Radius, who actually ended up selling the SuperMac name to UMax.
Did you know the Power Tools clone manufacturer, the president of that company, the CEO, actually wrote for My Mac magazine for one issue?
Oh, really?
Yeah, right after they lost their clone license, he was really ticked off. And I was like, yeah, you can write for us. And he had a whole series of articles planned. He wrote one and then disappeared. I don't know if Steve Jobs put a hit on him or what, but he just disappeared and he was gone. He has some direct dealings with Steve Jobs and he wanted to air that. And then he just disappeared. So I was like, Steve Jobs is my best friend. I love Steve Jobs.
Pull the website.
Pull it down.
Was Power Tools one of the Motorola sublicensees?
Yes. Okay. Yes, they were. So they weren't real happy.
No.
And I can understand that. One of the things that we've been talking about lately, my disappointment in iMovie.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought we would share a little bit of the feedback. This is from Richard. And he sent us some feedback to our Gmail account, which is mymacpodcast@gmail.com. Do you want to read this, Chad? I can make the text a little bigger.
Yeah, make it a little bigger. And Richard writes, Tim, I was disappointed to listen to the last two podcasts and your rant concerning iMovie. I totally disagree with your assessment. So I guess there's someone who likes the new iMovie and has used iMovie 6 extensively, by the way, and have many purchased plugins. Apple screwed up by not using a different name for the new iMovie. That is all. However, they chose to keep the name, give you access to iMovie 6 for free, or not delete it when you install iLife 08.
Which means, basically, well, you can continue to use that which you've already paid for, but here's a new version, which is crippled.
And Richard goes on to write, go back and listen to Steve Jobs and his demo of iMovie 08. I have several times, and you can see why they created this new program. It is a great program for a different purpose and user. They just should have renamed it Quick Movie or such and kept iMovie 6 in the package. I guess this would be difficult as they continue to support both programs and innovate both. They also would then need to innovate FCE and FC and don't want to spread themselves out like that.
That's Final Cut Express.
Yeah.
To appreciate the new iMovie, we just need to have a different purpose for a quick movie, and it works for that very well. It's perfect for the YouTuber or the new .web gallery without extensive time involved.
That's .web gallery.
Yep. We need to get our mindset out of iMovie 6. I guess this means future iMovie 6 users will need to buy Final Cut Express.
And which is what I was saying, that Apple released such a crippled-ware version of iMovie to force people. And this is another contention that I have. Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead and finish that.
He goes on to write, we just have gotten used to Apple giving us great free software when you purchase a Mac. iMovie 08 is great free software, especially for a switcher or newbie, and also for veterans that want to zip a quick movie out.
It's not free.
Excuse the repetitive rant of mine, but the argument should also include a name change and maintaining iMovie 06. Thanks for your time, and I enjoy the podcast. Richard.
Thanks, Richard. We really do appreciate dissenting viewpoints.
Absolutely.
If you have one, send it to mymacpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send your own vocal cords, send it over the telephone.
And you can call our Skype line at 1-801-938-5559.
And that number again is
1-801-938-5559.
You're listening to the MyMac.com podcast. I like that. Number one, iLife 08 is not free.
No, it's not.
It's only free if you buy a computer with it pre-installed.
Right.
That's value added. That doesn't mean it's free. You cannot then take the iMovie that comes with, or I'm sorry, the iLife that comes with your new computer and put it on every other Mac you have. Can't do that. It's not free.
Right.
I have it. I didn't get it for free.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go spend 80 bones to get that puppy.
Mm-hmm.
So let's put aside the fact or the misconception that this is free software. It's not.
It's bundled with the new Mac.
It's bundled with the new Mac. It's value added.
Right.
This is your reward for buying a Macintosh. And don't for a moment assume that that price isn't included in the cost of the iMac. It is. Apple accounts for that. That being said, of course, that being said, if you broke each application down, it'd probably be around $20.
Yeah.
I bet Richard has spent more than $20 on the plugins for his iMovie.
I know I have.
Which are, at this point, obsolete. They do not work with the current version and probably the versions going ahead of iMovie.
Mm-hmm.
What Apple did was take a feature-rich program that a lot of people used, a lot of people loved.
And
the community was around this program on both online and in person. A lot of user groups would get together to do iMovie projects.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge program for Apple. And for them to scrap all the functionality of the old version and release this new version with, really, it's iPhoto for movies and cripple it so badly.
And frankly, not
Unconscionable to me.
And I guess what bothers me a little more is not leave an open door for developers to at least
upgrade.
Port their current.
But the problem is, Chad, there's no. It really disappoints me more than anything that I understand some people are going to like it, and I have no problem with that. More power to them. But why should I be denied a more powerful version of iMovie that I'm used to, that I've been paying for, that I've been supporting, that third-party developers have been supporting, thus helping Apple?
Mm-hmm.
Why should we just be tossed to the side?
Well,
what Apple is doing, I think, beyond the fact that we want you to be able to quickly create a movie, they want people like me to move on to Final Cut Pro.
Or Express.
But what if I don't want to? What if I have this investment?
Plus.
Right. And I have this investment in iMovie, and I erroneously assume that Apple is going to continue to support moving forward. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, what are you talking about? They're letting you have the old version for free.
What about iLife 09 or iLife 10?
They're letting you keep your old version.
Right. But how long is that old version? Why wasn't that upgraded so it's even faster? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And will the older version, iMovie 06 and below, work when 10.6 or 10.7 or, God forbid, System 11 comes out?
Well, that's looking a little far, and I don't expect Apple to keep support for programs that old. I mean, Apple just recently finally buried AppleWorks.
Yeah.
I mean, that hasn't been updated, really updated since
2001, I think.
Well, it was updated only to run on Mac OS X.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't an updated version. I think the last time a new version of iMovie or AppleWorks came out was 1998. I mean, it was a dead product. It was working under OS X, and it still is, but it was sad.
Yeah.
You launch it every now and then, and you're like, oh, this reminds me of, when I had an LC2. How quaint. Look, I can make a little square and paint,
Now it's trendy.
But no, thank you very much for your different opinion, Richard. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
We got another one. Remember I think Guy was the one to ask if anybody used an iPhone with Windows, Guy? Was that you asking?
Yes, I did.
We got an email. Just from Jeffro.
Jeffro!
Jeffro writes,
Jeffro?
In the last podcast, you were wondering about the iPhone users on the Windows side. I got my iPhone the weekend they were released. I used a Dell PC with Windows XP, and everything ran smoothly. In 5 minutes or less, I had the iPhone out of the box and running, and I have not experienced any problems with this awesome phone at all. I have used cell phones since around 1990, mostly Nokia and Motorola. This is undoubtedly the best phone I've ever owned, and I have several iPods as well. The iPhone is king as far as I'm concerned. Thanks for the great podcast, Jeffro. Thanks, Jeffro.
Jeffro. Appreciate
that. He goes, you messed his.
Yeah, Jeffro says, rock on.
Rock on.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Well, that's cool. Good to know.
It's very good to know.
Yeah.
I'm I would have been disappointed if it didn't perform well under XP or Vista as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Apple recognized that.
Yeah.
As well as the iPod sold when it was a Mac-only product. It wasn't until it came out
for the other
with Windows universe that it really exploded.
Oh, yeah.
I am curious, and no one will ever give us these figures, but how many Mac users bought an iPhone compared to PC users? Total iPhone sales. How many of those iPhone users are Mac or PC users? I would hazard a guess that probably more than half of the iPhone users right now are Mac users.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I think more Mac users bought the iPhone initially than PC users.
No, well, no, I disagree. I think that people on the Windows side, even if they're not interested in purchasing a Macintosh, have been playing with iPods long enough to realize that Apple is onto something when it comes to, you know, these small types of devices.
Hmm.
But, you know, I also see a lot of people, you know, casual users, business users, I just use my computer at work type people.
Right.
Who really have no idea about, you know, cross-platform functionality or compatibility. You know, they'll say, well, what do you use at home? Well, I use a Mac. Well, how do you work at home then? How do you get your files to transfer over? I said, well, I use Office for Mac, and I frankly have never had a problem transferring doc files or anything else from a Mac.
You know what my answer to that is?
What?
Work from home? What are you, a freaking idiot? At 5 o'clock hits, I'm punched out, I'm out of here.
What? You my computer's on fire? I don't care.
I couldn't even tell you where I worked after 5 o'clock. Work from home? Are you insane? Mr. Stock Market Boy? That's what I say. Let's take a little bit of a break here for a minute, and you're listening to the MyMac Podcast. We'll be right back.
Looking for how-tos, commentary, interesting blog topics? MyMac.com is the website for you. Publishing since 1995, MyMac.com offers the latest tips, tricks, and insights on Mac-related products. Give them a look at MyMac.com.
And we're back to the live podcast. Well, not live, but as live as we're going to get.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a little bit of the podcast news here for this show. I have got a few emails asking, wow, are you really going to go away? Some people are actually concerned that we're going to do away with this podcast, and that's simply not the case. This podcast is going to continue.
Mm-hmm.
We have no plans on quitting this podcast anytime soon. I was hoping to maybe next week start up the podcast game show podcast, but that's been pushed back at least probably another month. There's just a lot more work involved, and quite honestly, I've been so busy as of late that I haven't done any of it. So I'm at least 6 weeks behind where I should be on that podcast.
Yeah.
Well, how dare you make a living?
I tell you.
And plan on having more children. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
It's not even...
the podcast comes first.
It's not even the work that I'm doing that's getting in the way. It is everyday family stuff.
Right.
So, you know, that's got to come first, obviously. And we are going to get back to the podcast game show real soon. I do have to line up some more companies for prizes. Mm-hmm. Or I should just say I have to line up some companies. not some more.
A company.
A company would be great. If you work for a company or you own a company that would benefit from sponsoring a super cool brand new podcast, let me know. Tim@mymac.com. So this podcast is not going to go away. Fenestration will be back soon.
Mm-hmm.
I did talk to John Nemirovsky today.
Yes.
And at least until after the next Macworld, we probably won't have John as a regular contributor to the show. He's going to be concentrating more on writing some of his tutorials, which have been fantastic lately.
Right.
If you've been reading his photography tutorials,
yeah,
the Nemo Memo.
Great. And he had some beautiful photos in there, too.
Absolutely. Well, he's done two of those recently now, and they're really good. And so John's going to... His MyMac time is going to be devoted more towards the website writing and editing than the podcast. And I think that's probably a really smart move. John's a fantastic writer. I mean, he's been with us forever. I'm kind of curious on how long he's been with us now. If you haven't looked at MyMac.com in a while, or if nothing on the main pages of interest to you and you want to go back in time,
mm-hmm.
right up on the main page, right in the middle of the page, it says Home, Archives, eBooks, Reviews.
Right.
Click the Archives, and you're going to see a list of names. And these names are contributors to MyMac.com dating all the way back to 1995, when we started this website.
Oh, some writers in 1995.
Some, obviously. But we have
I'm looking at John's right here.
Go ahead.
And the earliest one I'm seeing from him is The Reader's Voice, Attention Please, dated 6/03/97.
So John's been with us...
Over 10 years.
Yeah, over 10 years. 10 years and 2 months at this point, which is... Wow. I had no idea it was that long. I did, but I didn't. You know, numbers become arbitrary after a while. But here's the thing with John Nemo. We had a writer at the time. His name was Mike Wallinga. And we did have a website in 97, but most of our effort went to the downloadable monthly digital magazine, mm-hmm. which often ran over 100 pages, sometimes almost 200 pages. We might have had a few that went over 200 pages. Mm-hmm. This was pure content. This was all original content. And it was just, it was great. We had a lot of good writers at the time. Mm-hmm. But on the last page, we had a writer by the name of Mike Wallinga. And his column was always called Wall Writings. And you can find a list of all of Mike's writings up at MyMac.com. Check out the archives and then go to the M's, obviously. Let's see, Mike Wallinga. Do I not have his stuff up there?
No, it's there. I'm looking
right
here. Oh,
okay, yeah. I just wasn't looking down far enough. So, yeah, he started with us at the beginning, January of 1996. And I'll tell you a little bit of Mike's story, and it's going to dovetail right into John's.
Mm-hmm.
At the time when I started MyMac.com, within a few months, a lot of different, we called them e-zines at the time, electronic magazines, started up. None of them survived
mm-hmm.
for very long. We were one of those that started up, and actually pretty much the only one other than about this particular Mac, aptm.com, for those mm-hmm. wondering, that are still around. But they are still a digital magazine. They do have a website, but their focus is still on the downloadable PDF.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't read them, it's really good stuff. Go check them out.
I've never even heard of that before.
About this, go to APTM. I'm serious. You're gonna really like them. About this particular Mac, it's good stuff. The guy who started that, Artie Nova, no longer has anything to do with it, but the name continues, and it's people that he pretty much handpicked to run it, and it's still going strong. But anyways, Mike Wallinga was another one of these e-zine creators. His was called Wall Writings. That was the name of his e-zine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he came out with maybe 6 or 7 issues, I guess you'd say. And I was a subscriber to his stuff. I really enjoyed it. He was a mm-hmm. really good writer. And we were, you know, in contact with each other, being publishers, both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he was using the same software that I was using, DocMaker.
Yeah.
And his writing style was very complimentary of what we were doing at MyMac. So I noticed that he didn't come up with an issue when he should have, and it went like 2 or 3 weeks. So I emailed him. I asked, what's going on, Mike? And he says, man, to be honest, it's taking up way too much of my time. I didn't think it was going to be this much effort to get this mm-hmm. thing published. I just wanted to write. I didn't know it was going to, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't really want to be
all
a publisher.
All the work that goes with it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of work that goes with it. And you guys see the behind-the-scenes stuff mm-hmm. a little bit of MyMac.com and how much goes into that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made him an offer. I said, well, I tell you what, if all you want to do is write, dude, write for MyMac. You can, mm-hmm. I'll give you the entire back page. The whole back page will be yours every month.
Mm-hmm.
And he agreed. And it was great. He had some just fantastic articles and reviews. And for a while, he did a game column with Adam Carnabog, mm-hmm. where every month they would look at another shareware game. Mm-hmm. I think it was called The Game Guys.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike kept telling me I should get this guy named John to write for us. And he was at MacSense magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying, well, yeah, I'd love to, you know, have him submit something. And I didn't realize that was the same John. I don't know why I didn't make the connection that I was reading in MacSense, the column Brave New World. And I love that column. It was great. And I didn't realize that was the guy that Mike was talking about all this time. So I think I suggested to Mike to have this John guy write something and we can put it in the reader's write. And what that was anybody that was a reader of the magazine could submit articles and we'll publish them here.
Right.
And that was really my excuse to get new writers in, because if it was really good, I would say, hey, you should write another one. And people would get excited and go, okay. We got a lot of people that way.
Yeah, me too.
And that's how John, his first one was a reader's write. The reader's write. And the very next month, Nemo Memo started. So that's when he got his start. And it wasn't until he started his – I didn't even recognize that he was the same guy as writing Brave New World during the Reader's Write issue. I didn't real. I still didn't put the two together. And I don't remember how it came out that that's who he was. And I was like, oh, my God, I love your stuff. And John's been with us ever since. Yeah. He's one of – at this point, he's one of our longest contributors. I think the only person that's still – actively a part of MyMac.com, other than myself, because I created the thing in 95, the only other person that's been around longer than John at this point would be Russ Walkowicz. And Russ started within the first year. So that's the story of John Nemo at MyMac.com. Interesting, isn't
it?
Yeah, it is. For over a decade. And the people that read MyMac.com don't know a lot of the going-ons behind the scenes, but John's actually our reviews editor. He's in charge pretty much of the reviews that happen at MyMac.com. He has very good skills when it comes to contacting companies and schmoozing with the PR people. He's better at that than I am. He really is. And he maintains the database of who has what. Unfortunately, I don't contribute to that too much, and I know that probably ticks John off. I'm sorry, John.
I don't even think I've ever seen that.
I'll send you a link. Or actually, John will probably send you the link after listening to the show.
Yeah, because typically, you know, I don't get a lot of stuff from my Mac for the reviews that I do. It's usually something I look and I go, oh, I want to buy that. I buy it, and if I really like it, I'll do a review on it.
Well, actually, I discourage that because, number one, if you went and bought something, you're going to be predisposed to like it.
Right.
You spent your money. Or you're going to be too harsh on it if it doesn't live up quite to your expectations. So rather than just going out and buying it, Guy, I would suggest that if you do see something, let myself or John Nemirovsky know that you're interested in that.
Okay.
And we will simply get you what you're looking for. Now, if you really like it and you want to keep it, most companies will actually give a discount to the reviewer. So rather than just going out and buying it, you get the review copy, and if you want to keep it, it's going to be a lot cheaper than if you went and bought it. But we think getting it as a loaner from these companies kind of makes it a little bit more
objective.
Objective, exactly. And one of our writers, I don't want to say who, was communicating with Nemo about some products that he got for review sent from the company. And he didn't have very many good things to say about it. So he wanted to know if one of two things. He wanted to know, should he just simply send it back to the company and tell them, you know, I'd prefer not to review this because it's going to get a low score. Or just kind of let it fade away and not worry about it. My response was, no. When we get a product that's subpar, that is just as important to write about as a product. Maybe even more so than those products that get a very high score. Because what we're doing at MyMac.com is looking out for a potential buyer, at least as far as the reviews are concerned, a potential buyer of that application or that hardware, whether it's Adobe InDesign CS3, which John Farr just did a review of and gave a 5 out of 5, or whether Artie's in-studio speakers for the iPod system, a book, a digital camera, I mean, a printer, whatever it happens to be.
Yep.
What we're hoping for is that people will be interested in a product, they'll do a Google search, and maybe with luck they're already a reader of MyMac.com. They read our review, and it helps them make an informed decision. That's what a product review is all about. If it's a piece of crap, And I'll give you a prime example. I did a review of an HP camera, and I know you've heard this story before, mm-hmm. Chad, that it was just a piece of crap. And I've reviewed a lot of HP cameras at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave it, I think, what, a 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
And it was a very negative review. And HP wasn't happy about it, but they understood where I was coming from. And the very next camera I did a review of from HP got like either a 4.5 or a 5 out of 5. It was a great camera. And I even mentioned the mm-hmm. piss poor camera.
The bad
yeah,
one.
That this was another HP camera. Mm-hmm. Don't get that one. Spend $100 and get this one. This is a fantastic one.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair and balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I hadn't written the good review, it still would have been fair and balanced.
Yeah.
But HP took that review to heart. You know, they took my criticisms of that.
Suggestion?
Well, no, my criticisms of what was wrong with that camera. And they addressed that in the next batch of models that they made. Because I got email from mm-hmm. the engineer who worked on that camera. It was a team, but mm-hmm. one guy in particular. And he totally agreed with my review, mm-hmm. which I thought was great.
Yeah.
Here's a company that's actually listening to product reviewers, what they have to say about it, taking it to heart, whether they agree with it or not,
mm-hmm.
and making the changes according to what they think is best for the product line. That's fantastic. That's exactly what,
right.
as a reviewer, I hope for from a company perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The consumer, on the other hand, I got more email from that review than almost any other review I've done in recent memory. People thanking me for that review, saying, mm-hmm. you know, I was really thinking about buying this camera because it's really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the specs and you think, wow, that's a great camera for that price.
Mm-hmm.
But then they read my review and went, ooh, I don't want to buy that one. And people would thank me for, oh, I'm so glad you wrote that review because I would have wasted my money on that.
Right.
And that's great, too, when you get mm-hmm. that. I love that. I don't get too many comments from products that I give a 4 out of 5 or a 5 out of 5. Wow, I'm so glad you love this product. So do I. I'm going to buy it now. People
right.
don't send email like that. They'll send you email and say, you just saved me $150 because mm-hmm. I was going to buy this camera until I read your review. That's fantastic. I love that. So to the staff member who I know listens to the show as well, it's very important that we review products that won't get a high score.
Mm-hmm.
We need to let our readers know about these products,
yeah.
why you should stay away from this. And hopefully there's a viable option mm-hmm. from another company that gets a better review that maybe that's where you should spend your money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it's about. That's what reviews are for, to let you know what not only what to buy, but what not to buy.
Yep.
You get all that, guy? Well, I'm going to give you a test later on that.
Okay. To buy or not. Okay. No, I got it.
So we got a lot of content up at MyMac.com right now. If you're listening to this podcast and you don't visit MyMac very much, or if at all, maybe you just found this through the iTunes Music Store and you subscribe to the podcast,
mm-hmm.
we really encourage you to go check out MyMac.com. That's really the focus of our efforts.
Yep.
The podcast, if anything, the podcast is kind of an addition to or a supplement of MyMac.com. We've got a lot of content. You want to go over some of that right now, Chad?
Sure. On the blog side, we've got a couple of posts here. We've got Bill Palmer saying, just when is that magical iPhone 1.1 update coming?
For those wondering, Bill Palmer, it is the same Bill Palmer who runs iProng.com, good friend of ours.
Yep.
And I wrote
in the iProng radio podcast.
He had one of his writers that really wasn't doing his job very well, posting some news items. And we kind of had a little publisher powwow, and he was kind of complaining about this guy. So I wrote this, what I would have wrote for the news story that he posted, and I IM'd it to Bill, and he turned around and posted it. So I'm officially a published writer I didn't get credit for it, but still.
Sweet.
That was my copy, damn it. And so Bill Palmer is a great friend of ours, and he posts blogs on our site as well, which is, I just love it. I think it's fantastic. And a lot of people think, or ask me, wow, does, you know, he kind of promotes the iProng thing on your site.
Well, duh.
Is that really cool with you guys? And I'm like, well, yeah, I like his site.
Mm-hmm.
And he's contributing content at MyMac.com. I don't care. I mean, if he posted something every day, the new stuff that's up on iProng, I'd be like, yeah, you might want to tone it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I like his site. And I think most of our readers will like his site. So, yeah, we're going to do some cross-promotion.
Yep.
Bill is a fantastic writer. So I feel fortunate to have him at MyMac.com posting his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What else is new?
And a native Floridian.
That's right. We won't hold that against you.
Okay.
We've got another expiration from Donnie Yankolo, the alternate iTunes shopping cart.
That was a trick that I knew about, but I never really took to the logical conclusion. It's a very short article, and I would suggest everybody who buys music often at the iTunes music store to check out. To me, I used his idea, and it kind of, if I'm on the iTunes music store, especially if it's like 11:30 at night and I listen to the little 30-second preview or 20-second, whatever it is, wow, that's a cool song, and click buy, click buy, click buy. Yep. And then the next day I'm like, what the hell was I thinking when I bought this? I really was. What I'm starting to do now, instead of buying it right then, I'm using this little tip of Donnie's. And I listen to it the next day. And if I still like it at that point, then I'll go buy it. And if I don't, I'm thinking, well, maybe it's not as good. I'm saving my money, and I'm just kind of avoiding it. So, great article from Donnie.
It's filled with, like, the best of the Turtles,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Artie did a review of the in-studio speaker system for the iPod. That looks kind of interesting. He gave it a good review.
Yeah.
You're going to see some more product reviews from Artie in the future. I think he's really good at them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's new to the Mac platform, too, although I don't really think.
Yeah, just last year.
Just last year. Mm-hmm. I don't really think.
Actually, no. I take that back. This year.
No, he started.
Did he start right around the time of Macworld?
Well, he started before Macworld. Macworld was kind of his coming out party. It's raining, man. Hallelujah.
It's 2006 is when he started. Yeah. 8/11/06 was his first article.
And he's a friend of Nemo, so.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's a good writer. I really like him. It was fun meeting him.
And a good guy,
he
too.
Is. We're going to meet him again this January at the Macworld Expo.
We've got another backup automator action from Bakari. This one is used to back up a particular file if you want to make sure it gets saved frequently.
Yep. Did you say, I just remember this as part of our non-existent news section this week. Version Tracker was just bought by CNET. Yeah,
really?
That kind of sucks. I'm like,
why would they want Version Tracker?
Well, Version Tracker gets a lot of traffic.
Yeah, it does.
If there's a program that I'm looking to see if it's been updated, that's usually my first stop.
Mm-hmm.
All apologies to our friends at Mac Update, who we met at the Grand Rapids Apple Store,
which is also.
I'm just used to going to Version Tracker because I've been going there for so long. Mac Update is just as good, honestly.
Yeah.
It really is, and I think maybe I'm going to start going there instead, simply because I met the guy who runs it.
And he's like local, and we like to support the smaller.
And he was a nice guy. I really liked him. We had him on the 100th podcast, or no, the
125th,
something. 20,
was it?
No, wasn't that
was it 120th?
The one that I was
when
on.
You were on, yeah. Well, whatever it was, we had him on there. And, I think I'm just going to start going there. I'm kind of worried that CNET may screw it up.
Yeah.
But hopefully they realize the value of what they purchased and they keep their mitts off of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way it's going to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping somebody else was going to talk there because I was taking a drink of
Mountain Dew. That's all right. Let me fill in your blanks by going back to MyMac.com website and seeing what else we've got up. We've got a very, very nice article by Roger Bourne, What MyMac.com and the online community has meant to me. Which
I didn't really send anything to Roger after he wrote it because I didn't really feel like it was necessary. It was such a personal piece.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he wrote it. It was touching. If you want to see what being a writer on the internet, not just a blog poster, because anybody can post a blog.
Right.
Doesn't mean anyone's going to read your stuff or that
you're even a good writer.
Right, exactly. We're pretty discriminating on the people that we publish. That being said, within the last, 3 months, we've got 4 new writers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got it's not just 4 hacks that showed up.
Yeah.
It's 4 really,
really good writers.
Within the last 2 years, and we've got, almost 8 new writers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Yep.
And they're all quality writers. They're all nice people.
Yep.
I would like to see possibly some more writers of the female persuasion. That would be nice. We had Naughty for a while, but
yeah.
She kind of fell out. I'm not sure what's going on with her.
Hmm.
I owe her an email or a phone call.
Yeah.
But we're always looking for writers, regardless of your gender. Not necessarily regardless of your age, though. If you're still in high school, I would... It's going to sound a little hypocritical of me because we've had high school writers before. In fact, Mike Wallinga was a high schooler when he started with us. Adam Carnabogue, our second webmaster and the longest webmaster that we had, he pretty much stopped about 2 years ago, stopped anything with MyMac. He was in high school when he started, and he owns his own business now, Mac Specialist in Chicago. He's one of the owners of it now. But at this point, being somebody that has 13-year-old daughters, I would be happy to publish something from someone still in high school, but I would more encourage you to spend that time learning as much as you can.
Finish school
first, then come to us. But that being said, anybody else who is always kind of hankered to do some product reviews, if you think that you have a talent in that, maybe some opinion pieces, maybe you think that, you know what, I could write these how-to articles. I really know how to use programs X and Y and Z, and I think I could really write some articles that could help users, other Mac users, get the most out of these programs.
Mm-hmm.
We're more than interested in that. We'd love to hear from you. So to get a hold of us, what you want to do is send me an article, or better yet, just send me an email to begin with and say you're interested. Tim@mymac.com. And, you know, the thing is, I've had people contact me in the past that says, and you could kind of tell they're nervous. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I thought about it. I don't know if I'm really good enough. And
only one way to find out.
A lot of people have asked me what my talent is. My talent, more than anything else, I think, is finding talent in others.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's I'm not saying I'm necessarily a talent scout or manager.
No, but you know how to identify.
I know what I'm looking for, and and we've had pretty good luck.
Yeah.
You know, I can only think of three people who's ever been literally kicked off at mymac.com.
And it wasn't because they couldn't write. It's because they took off in a very different direction.
Well, one person took off in a very different direction that he kind of went a little bit loonier than I thought he was.
Yeah.
And I don't think he became that way. I think he was always that way. Mm-hmm. He just kind of held back, and then he just kind of splurged it forward. But the other one was a married couple who I had to ask them to leave because they spent 2 days at Macworld Expo back in 97, 98, maybe. It might have even been after that. I think it was 2001. Because I had met them at Macworld Expo 2000, and it was the year after that that this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Where they basically did a marathon booth to booth to booth, acquiring every product they could, promising a product review. And, of course, when you're at Macworld Expo and you've got this badge on that says you're a journalist, and you're with MyMac Magazine or MyMac.com, it's not difficult to get products to review.
Right.
Because these companies are there for us more than anything. They want to get their product in front of journalists and have us write about them because that's going to allow them to sell more product, providing it's a good product to begin with.
Right.
So they got just a ton of stuff. And I didn't necessarily have a problem with – I didn't like the tactics they used because other writers of ours were there, didn't know they were doing this. So when they would show up at a booth, they'd say, I'm sorry. We already gave it to this, these writers over here from your group, which is kind of a problem.
Right.
They never did any reviews. Mm-hmm. We waited all the way until either August or September. Various emails back and forth until I finally told them what you did was theft.
Mm-hmm.
You guys stole these products. We did not steal them. Yes, you did steal them because in exchange for getting these products, you promised this company a review.
Right.
You're giving them something in exchange for this product. If you don't give any reviews on all these products that you went and grab bagged, that's stealing.
Yeah.
So send the products back. I don't know if they ever did. Mm-hmm. But I had companies.
Did you ever hear from them again?
Oh, no. Once I called them a thief, that was it. Yeah. They wanted me to go and take all the content, everything they ever wrote for MyMac.com down.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no. They're like, yeah, we own it. That's ours.
No.
Once it's on our site and it's published, it's actually property of MyMac Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
it is still technically up there. You just can't find it anymore.
Oh, it's so old now.
Yeah, but right. there's and the sad part was they were. It was a husband and wife team, and they were both really good writers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really nice people. They really were. They were great people when I met them.
Mm-hmm.
But I just couldn't have what they were doing. That's just, right. That's just wrong. So, anyways, we encourage everyone to check out MyMac.com. We have so much content stretching back all the way to 1995. You couldn't read it all on a weeks-long vacation. You couldn't do it.
Or even longer.
Or even longer. Let alone listen to all the podcasts that we've done. Chad and I, here's something for you, Guy. Chad and I were figuring this out when we were going up to Ann Arbor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How long it would take to listen to all the shows that we've recorded.
Oh, my.
You literally probably couldn't do it. If you listened all day long.
You could, but it would take you about probably at least a month.
Yeah, and then you would be
9 hours
on
a
suicide watch.
Yeah. Well, in our defense, the first probably 40 or
probably 50 podcasts
for
half hour
shows.
Right. And then after that, they kept getting longer and
longer and
longer.
And pretty soon we stretched on to the typical, 45 minute to an hour long show that we've got going right now, like right now.
Right now, so. We're almost at 56 minutes. And by the time I drop in the exit music, it'll be probably a little over an hour.
About an hour.
But I think an hour's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what happens at an hour... The average drive to work and back takes about a half hour. I think that's the average. Or maybe 20 minutes, whatever it is. So this gives them an opportunity to listen to the show halfway there and halfway home. Hopefully it's not a Monday because then the week's really long.
Oh, yeah.
But we are releasing the shows on Friday mornings now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about the listeners out there who are... either new subscribers or long-time subscribers, do you like us releasing the shows on Monday as we had been doing for a long time, or do you like them on Friday, the end of the week, here's the show?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the Fridays for the simple fact that I don't like it because as soon as I'm done recording here in the studio, I got to go home and edit it. And that takes about 2 hours to do, all told. I like it on Friday simply because we record on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking news items,
it's old news by Monday.
By Monday, it's been, four, almost 5 days since this was news and what has happened in that time period that we never even talked about. So for that respect, I think that Mondays are out and posting it Thursday night, i.e. Friday morning, it just works better.
Yep.
So we're going to wrap up the show. Any last?
Well, I've got one little bit.
Go for it. Yeah,
I've got an article that I'm currently writing that I hope to get to you by next week. It's called iWeb 2: Making Pages That Don't Look Like Everyone Else's.
Can you shorten that up? Like iWeb 2: Pages That Don't Suck.
Well, I'll leave that up to you. So far, I'm up to about 6 pages, so I have a feeling it's going to be a multi-part.
Going to have screen captures, Guy?
Yeah.
Are you asking for reader feedback? Somebody sending in any of their comments to include?
Sure, why not?
So if you've got a comment on iWeb you think would benefit in Guy's article, how do they get a hold of you, Guy?
Oh, they can get a hold of me at guy@mymac.com, or if you go to MacParrot, there's a couple links there to contact me as well.
Disclaimer notice, please wear sunglasses if you're going to go to MacParrot, or if you...
Actually, have you seen it lately?
No, I haven't. Did you change that logo?
It's still kind of the same, but it's not quite as glaring as it was before.
Because I did have an email. Was it an email or an instant message? I forget now. They said that they went up to MacParrot, and it wasn't as bad as I made it out to be. Yeah, see, I'm looking at it right now.
No, it was.
Yeah.
It was as bad as you
could. It was bad then.
But if you go to, because I made MacParrot of MacParrot.com was made with iWeb. If you go to MacParrot.org, that was made with a different program called Goldfish.
Interesting.
And that has the old logo there. So if you want to see the contrast between the two logos.
He just made Chad change it. He was going up to change the com to org.
And then I thought about the seizures I had last time and thought, no, not this time.
I was just saying, my mind is it must be getting time to wrap up because I'm thinking, I wonder if World of Warcraft, somebody that's like really into that and they're an org player on there, mm-hmm. if someone owns org.org. I don't know.
Com.com.
Yeah, com.com. I know that someone owns that one.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, I think that's about it. I can't think of anything else. Anybody else got anything? Or are we out of here?
I think
we're out of here.
We'll be back next week, and we'll talk about all the Apple announcements that's happening before we record the next show. So hopefully we'll talk about maybe the Beatles and iTunes, maybe brand new iPods.
I'm hoping new iPods.
Whatever happens during the week next week, we encourage you guys to let us know what you think about what's happened at Apple, what the new products.
Pregnant nanos.
And send us your comments so we can play comments about something that just happened. Soliciting really your comments on whatever happens at this
little audience participation after the next Mac, the big announcement.
That's right.
Or we will track you
down.
We'll
come and get you. All right, that's it. I'm out of here. Bye.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.